everybody. How are you today? I'm Karen Hartglass, right? And we're listening. I'm listening to myself speak. We're listening to It's All About Food. It's all about food. And I told you this last week. This week, today, is my 7th year anniversary doing this program, It's All About Food. 7 years! So let's have a little party right now, okay? Woo-hoo! Let's celebrate all the wonderful things we have discovered about food. And I'm so glad you've been with me on this discovery. Those of you who joined early in the game, and those of you who have stuck around, and those of you who are new to the party, I am so glad you're there. Because we are all needed in this journey to make this planet a better place. And every day, I don't want to talk about the bad stuff. You know, we had bad news this morning. I don't want to talk about anything bad. I want to talk about good. And if I mention something bad, there'll be like a silver lining story to it, okay? We have to focus on the good. There's so much good. And we are all a part of making that good. It's a balance. And we have to create the good. We have to bring people to the light. And food has so much to do with that. Okay, now let's... before we... get introduced to my first guest, I wanted to talk very briefly about water. Now, I've talked about this before. The most important thing for human beings is to breathe. When we can't breathe, a few minutes later, we're dead. We need to breathe, okay? So air, and hopefully cleaner air than dirtier air, is what we need to take into our bodies all the time. Breathing is really important. And when I get kind of down and out, I always like to think about breathing and what a wonderful thing that is. And sometimes there are bad smells, but very often I can discover in those breaths the good smells. And right now we're coming into spring here in New York, and that means lots of lovely good smells and fragrances from the lovely things on this planet, and this relationship that we have with plants. Because as humans, we put out all this carbon dioxide. That's kind of like our waste. And then the plants lovingly take it in and turn it into oxygen. It's a beautiful exchange, and we really need to take care of our plants a lot better. Okay, so that's air. The second thing is water, and today I just found out is World Water Day, at least according to the UN. I have a little water story. So I live in an apartment building in Queens, and usually when they're going to be doing some work, they slip a notice under our door, and we have a lot of leaks in our building. It's a post-World War II building, but it's, you know, it's not new, and they, from time to time, have to shut the water down. Well, today, we didn't get a notice under our door, and there was no water. And this is World Water Day! So, you know, when I do this show, a lot of times I do it from home, and I work from home, and there are a lot of benefits to that. You know, I can wear whatever I want when I work at home. But when I'm coming into the studio, and I'm going to be seeing some lovely guests, I want to look nice. I want to be clean. And there was no water. And I appreciate water very much. I take water very seriously. I talk about how it's important to drink tap water, but to clean that tap water effectively. And I promote distillation and a certain kind of distiller. I'm very passionate about water, and we should all have access. It's a human right to have access to clean, healthy water. So when I was without it, and it was for maybe an hour, which was not very long, but all of a sudden, it was devastating. Because I hadn't prepared for it. So I didn't have any extra water lying around. Now I thought, okay, how am I going to clean myself up? And, I had, these like, towelettes, packaged towelettes from Gardein. You know, the company that makes the vegan meat, Gardein. They had donated, for a fundraiser we had not too long ago. Some coupons and these little packages. They kind of looked like condoms. And they said lose something like lose your vegan something or other. It was like lose your virginity or something, but it had something to do with being vegan. Anyway, I never used these things, and I thought, where are those things? And they came in very handy. And just about when I was finished, the water came on, which is a good thing. But I really realized in that moment how precious water is, how we don't appreciate it, how we're running out of it, why we're running out of it. That's a whole other show. And unfortunately, the UN on World Water Day is not talking about what I think is the most important thing, the most destructive thing to our water, which is animal agriculture. Those things need to change. But I'm very grateful to have access to water. Whew! All right, let's bring on my guest. This is going to be fun. Robin, I hope I say your name right. Robin Camille.
There you go, girl. There you go.
Robin Camille. Well, you got a lot of extra consonants in there and vowels and everything. It's beautiful.
Yes. Thank you, dear.
I like any name that has a Y in it because my name has a Y in it, too. Yes. Well, she's an activist, an author, actress, comedian, vocalist, radio personality, and relationship expert. And we're gonna hear her sassy style, I believe, in a moment. But it landed her appearances on numerous radio and television shows, including The Howard Stern Show and Bravo's Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. As an actress, Miss Camille has graced the silver screen in several independent films, including Bear City, the movie, and Violet Tendencies, starring Mindy Cohn of Facts of Life. Last summer, her monthly advice column, Dear Diva, was launched in Australia's top gay publication, DNA Magazine. She's also the official relationship expert for Playgirl. She was inspired to become an animal rights activist, and we're going to be talking quite a bit about that right now. After seeing the PSA Saving Lolita, which focused on the life of the orca Lolita, who has been held at the Miami Seaquarium for over 45 years, she saw the parallels between Lolita's story and her own family history in the Atlantic slave trade, and she wrote the song Let the Girl Go Free, Lolita. Let the Girl Go Free, Lolita. There we go, to help raise awareness about the orca. Now, welcome to It's All About Food.
Hi.
Robin. I'm so happy that we've made this happen.
Yes. How are you?
Good. You're all pink and sparkly today.
Yes, it's spring, dear. It's spring.
It's spring. Yeah.
Yes.
I got some bright blue on.
It works, honey.
It's got to be.
Works.
Color is really important.
Yes.
And, you know, in New York especially, because New York, everybody seems to like to wear black everywhere.
Yes.
And
yes.
I sit on the subway, and it's, you know, it's very dark. I didn't take the subway today. I took the train, which was a treat. But I love wearing bright colors, especially in springtime.
Yes.
Now, we met, if you remember, at the Anti-Fur Society cruelty-free fashion show.
Yes, with John Bartlett. Yes.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
That reminds me. I got to contact John.
I'm making
a note.
Yes, make a note, girl. Make a note. No, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
The evening was a lot of fun. The fashion show was definitely a lot of fun. And you and Jane Velez Mistral were
doing our thing.
Doing your thing.
Yes, yes. And that was actually the debut of our song Vegan Sexy. So that's why we had so much fun there. That was the first time that we had presented it live in public. So
okay, let's talk about Vegan Sexy.
Yes, yes.
Do you talk about as the official relationship expert to Playgirl, do you have an opportunity to talk about Vegan Sexy?
Well, you know something, when my readers send me relationship questions in regards to Playgirl, they never discuss whether they're vegans or not. And that's something maybe I could bring up because, I mean, that can be a contentious point in a relationship if you're dating a non-vegan or you're trying to convert a vegan or show them the light, so to speak. Because I know one of my friends, she had gone to brunch with a couple of friends. One was a vegan. His girlfriend was a vegetarian. And she ate some eggs at brunch, and he flipped out on her in the middle of brunch. I mean, she reduced her to tears. Honey. So I don't know how that relationship worked out. But, you know, it can be a little contentious. But, but you have to handle it. And you have to lead people to the light gently, honey. You can't bash them over the head.
No, and that's a hard lesson for a lot of people.
Yes.
I was on the Geraldo Live show back in 2007. Mm-hmm. So there was somebody in Australia mm-hmm. had come up, was getting a lot of press, mm-hmm. Saying that vegans didn't want to date meat eaters because they don't like the way they taste.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to kiss them.
Right.
And so they wanted to kind of play on this theme, and they were looking mm-hmm. for a vegan to talk about it. And I was the lucky one who got interviewed. And, you know, there was some science mm-hmm. to eating animal products mm-hmm. and creating an odor.
Yes, yes.
So there are a few plant foods that do it too, but it's mm-hmm. mostly animal foods.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is something to it. And if you aren't eating animal foods, mm-hmm. you can really smell it mm-hmm. on people who are.
Yes, and you feel different because I remember a friend of mine in Brooklyn. She had been a vegan for years. Well, her boyfriend, he was eating healthier. I mean, she was trying to steer him in the right direction. And she told me, when they had sex, she could tell when he was eating, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, she could tell. She could tell. Her body felt different. It was a yes, because she had been a vegan for so many years that any little thing she could tell.
Now, I haven't watched or listened to Howard Stern mm-hmm. Just on occasion.
Yes.
But I remember him bringing on some, I think maybe it was one or two, mm-hmm. I don't remember, but these women who were raw foodists.
Mm-hmm.
And he did whatever was necessary in mm-hmm. the testing department to yes. say that they were indeed, they tasted better
okay.
than meat eaters.
Okay. Oh, dear. Well, that's Howard for you.
But, you know, there's something to it.
Yes, there
okay,
is.
So
yes.
Let's back up a little. Let's talk about Saving Lolita
yes.
and how it changed your life.
Yes. Well, one of my friends, Dan Azarian, actually produced that public service announcement. And he also produced the film starring Dr. Ingrid Visser, A Day in the Life of Lolita. And he and I have been friends for years, and I had been familiar with his other film work, but this was the first time that I saw the PSA at a film festival. And when I saw it, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, my God. This is unreal, and I immediately saw the parallels, because you know Amazing Grace was playing underneath it
yeah,
all, and I'm like, oh my God, what, mm-hmm. am I the only one seeing this? And no, I'm not the only one seeing it, and who saw the parallels, but. When other people would bring it up, they would immediately be shouted down and called racist. But you can't call me a racist when my great-great-grandmother was a slave.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can't throw that argument at me. We can agree to disagree, but you can't. That's one argument you can't throw at Ms. Robin Camille.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and what I find is that when people listen, they can see things, too. When someone is taken from their home, they're sold for the profit, the sole profit of someone else, they are held captive there, that's a form of slavery. It is what it is. It is what it is. As we have white slavery, where you have young girls and boys being kidnapped and forced into prostitution, you call that white slavery. It is what it is. Of course, you don't downplay the Atlantic slave trade and the cruelty and brutality of that. But slavery can come in different forms.
Mm-hmm.
And
it still goes on today,
still goes
even
on.
In the United States of America.
Oh, it goes on all over the place. It goes on all over the place.
Well, humans mm-hmm. exploit.
Of course.
And there are many different shades
yes.
of exploitation.
Yes.
And
yes.
none of it is acceptable.
No, and it's never pretty, honey.
I think mm-hmm. when you stop eating animals
mm-hmm.
and when you realize we've been exploiting mm-hmm. animals, it opens your eyes to all the other exploitation that's going on.
Yes.
Not just to animals, but to our fellow human beings,
mm-hmm.
to all life on Earth, our
yes.
planet that
yes.
we've been raping and abusing.
Oh, preach, girl. I should have brought my tambourine. Yes, yes, yes. This abuse, abuse, abuse.
But
and
how come you didn't see it before? What was it in Lolita?
I don't know.
That
you know something? I don't know. I had that aha moment. And I guess we all come to that aha moment at different times in our lives. And, you know, it doesn't matter how much information you get on a subject or where you are, but everyone has to have that particular aha moment in their own time and place. And no one can force it on you. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with an alcoholic. You know, you can get them brochures for AA, honey, but if they ain't ready to go, they ain't going. So everyone has to come to that point in their own time. And that was my time.
Well, I'm glad it was your time.
Yes,
the question
yes.
is, how do we get all 7 million of us?
Well, I think it's
on board.
Well, you know something. I think it's important
because it's time.
I know, girl, it's time. But I think it's important for people to continue to do projects like Save Lolita and other projects and get it out there so people can see. So, like me, a layman can have an aha moment. I think it's important. I think Blackfish was very important in other projects, just to let people know what's going on, letting them know the backstory, letting them know what these animals go through after they leave that marine park and how they got there in the first place. So those things are important. And that we are breaking down some barriers and opening some eyes and ears.
Right. So yes. What do you think about the changes that have been happening at SeaWorld?
Well, I mean, they're changes. They're positive changes. They had so much backlash. The stock was in the toilet, honey.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
And that's where changes made.
Of course, honey, in the pocketbook. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, with the during the civil rights movement, the whole bus boycott, the only reason they changed the stance in regards to a colored sitting in the back is because for that 18-month boycott, the buses went bankrupt. So it was like, oh, okay, I guess we can let them sit where they want, okay? Because we're about to go under here. So it's always about the money. You always hit them in the pocketbook, because if you try to go for the hard strings, honey, they have none.
Okay, so how do we get everybody mm-hmm. to just stop spending money
mm-hmm.
and saying, okay, we're ready. Mm-hmm. We want major change.
Yes.
Just so many people aren't ready to give up their convenience and their comfort.
No, people are not ready to. You know, it's a very difficult time, Karen, too, because people are bombarded with so many things in their lives right now. You know, when you don't know where your next dollar's coming from, the mortgage is due, you can't feed your children, you really don't have the mental capacity to focus on Lolita. And I get that.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make you a bad person. That just means you're overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, people have to come into things in their own time. And when your back is up against the wall and you're fighting for your own survival, it's very difficult for you to look outside of that and fight for someone else's survival. You know, it's difficult. So I don't really, you know, berate people, because like I said, this is a very difficult time. And even with all that's going on and everything that people are going through, change is still occurring. So that's a good thing.
Right.
That's
change
a good
is
thing.
Still current.
Yes.
More people are struggling than ever.
That's right.
With the economy
yes.
and the lack of opportunity.
Exactly. But yeah. with that.
But change is happening.
That's right. So can you imagine once this economy picks up, honey, we'll enlighten everybody in a minute, girl.
But, you know, sometimes we have to reach that bottom, that low
yes.
place in
yes.
order to really see what's going on and
yes.
see how you can make a difference and not only survive, but.
Yes.
But, live with integrity.
Yes, yes. Well, it's very difficult, too, because not only are people overwhelmed with issues in terms of employment, the economy, trying to survive, you know, the media, the television, all Hollywood, these people, what they put out there, I mean, people are just, their minds are so saturated with crap. Like these reality shows, the Kardashians, all of that. And don't get me started on all this over-medication, honey,
mm-hmm.
okay? I mean, everybody's got a prescription for Xanax, lithium, Adderall, or something, honey. Everybody wants a
Everybody's quick depressed.
Everybody's depressed. Well, honey, listen, life is full of ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to be happy all the time, but we've gotten into this pattern of wanting a quick fix every day. We want to be up all the time. You're not going to be up all the time, honey. You're not. That's life. But you deal with it and you move on. I mean, life is, you're up, you're down, you're up and you're down. That's fine. But there's not, you can't look for a pill to fix everything that's wrong with life. You know, there was actually, they were doing, I don't know which drug company it was, because they're always coming out with something, that was trying to, doing some research on a pill for shyness. Now, okay, some people
I know,
are shy.
Please.
Some people are shy. That is what it is. That's
mm-hmm.
just them. So now we have a pill for this and a pill for that. So, girl, it's just too many things. It's too many things. So people are over-medicated. They're stressed out and over-medicated. And basically, we've had the dummying down of our society. That's another reason why people are not aware of what's going on. Because when you're medicated, honey, you're taking four Xanax a day, honey. You don't see whales or anything unless you see one crawling in your living room. And it's because of all the damn medication and the glass of wine you drunk. So it's difficult.
It's difficult. But let's talk about vegan sexy.
Yes, yes.
Because I think a lot of people like looking sexy and feeling sexy.
Yeah.
So what is vegan sexy all about?
Well, you know something? Jane came to me and she's like, Robin, we need to write a song. We need to get a song together because, you know, you got to have a song. And that's the thing with even Lolita. You know, a lot of people have told me they showed this to their friends who were like, didn't want to hear it before. And when they saw the song, I mean, heard the song and saw the video, it kind of, you know, got to them. Music has a way of being able to knock down doors that you wouldn't ordinarily get knocked down if you stood on a soapbox and preached.
Mm-hmm.
Because prior to the song I Ain't Gonna Play Sun City that was shown on MTV, no one knew what apartheid was. No one knew who Nelson Mandela was. But when that music video was shown on MTV and the song started being played on the radio and you had Bruce Springsteen and other stars being a part of that, that's when apartheid came to the forefront. People, no one knew that that system even existed.
Right.
And that helped create the movement, or it was, the African National.
Has MTV been along?
I know,
around
that's
that long?
Right, darling. That's right. So, yes, it was as a result of that. So, music has a way. So, back to Vegan Sexy. You know, Jane says, listen, we need a song because, you know, you put it in a song, people can dance to it, and somehow or another, you know, the words and the lyrics will start getting in their head, you know. So it was a feel-good song for people who had already made that conversion and are currently vegans, and others who were possibly thinking about it, or those who may not be. But, you know, hey, when you're vegan, honey, you shine.
That's right.
Yes, you glow, girl. Yes.
Okay, now, when did this happen for you, your vegan epiphany?
Well, you know something? After I wrote the song for Lolita and we did the video, and you know, I started being very active in freeing her and participating in a lot of marches and things surrounding her freedom. I said to myself, I said, girl, now, you know, I had another aha moment. I said, now, girl, you can't sit up here and call her captors, you know, slave owners and talk about all of this and you still have a dead animal on your plate. So I had to take a look in the mirror.
So it didn't happen.
No, not immediately.
Okay.
But I just, you know, another aha moment, honey. You know, sometimes you have to have those. Because like I said.
So how long ago was that?
It's been a year now.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's been a year. And it's been a gradual thing. You know, I let the chicken and the pork chops go first. You know, I come from a long line of pork eating, ham hock, collard green eating folks. I still eat my collard greens, but I gave up the ham hocks and no longer put meat in my greens. So it was an evolution, but I gave up the chicken and the pork first. I didn't eat beef too much anyway, but the chicken and the pork went first. The last issue was dairy, honey. I was still putting half and half in my milk, I mean in my tea until before Christmas. So it was an evolution.
Okay.
Yes.
Good for you. And how are you feeling now that you've made all these changes?
Oh, I feel great. I mean, I've lost a lot of weight.
Yep.
That's
how nice is that?
How nice is that? You know, you can be sexier as a slim vegan, a slimmer vegan, and I feel better. But the weight loss was really, really, really important because I'd been struggling with my weight forever. Forever, yes.
All right, let's just go back to relationships because you are a relationship expert, and I think our food choices bring out some of our challenges with relationships.
Yes.
I mean, everybody has challenges with relationships, but when you're sitting at a table with someone at every meal, or at least one meal a day or something, if you're not in agreement with what's on the menu, it brings out all the issues that you have, all the communication issues and tension and stress, and it's important. And I mean, I commend people that don't eat the same, that manage to have a loving relationship, or people who have different philosophies or religions that manage to celebrate life together.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that.
Right. Right. And that's your thing. Everybody, it doesn't, you know, everyone doesn't have to do that. It is what it is. You know, we all have our deal breakers, and that's okay. that's okay. That's okay. So it works for some people, you know, interfaith relationships, you know, relationships where you have a vegan and somebody who loves, you know, going down to the steakhouse and getting, you know, getting the steak. So
I know.
But it works for them. And they do say love conquers all, honey. So it can even, you know, and if it's working for them, then that's fine. Every relationship is different.
Okay. So we just have like a couple more minutes.
Yes.
And, so before you go, what are the most important animal activist kind of issues that are on your radar right now?
Well, freeing Lolita, because she is still in that tank, that substandard tank, the smallest in the country, wow, which is actually illegal. And, you know, with this 24-hour news cycle we have, it's very difficult to keep her story in the forefront. People have the attention span of gnats, so you constantly have to keep her story and her plight out there, which is very difficult. You know, for the last 10 years, you've had people every weekend in Florida and Miami that go down and protest and turn away cars, and they have been diehards in that. So it's still a struggle because she's still not free. So it's very difficult, and the struggle continues. But as my grandmother used to say, a steady drop of water will wear a hole in a rock. So we'll get there.
Right. How can people find out more about Lolita, and what can they do?
Well, I think one of the things that they can do is to donate to the ARCA Network, which actually has her retirement plan.
The ORCA Network.
Yes, they have her retirement plan, because once she gets out of the tank, they've actually have a home for her back in in Washington State, because it's important, you know. Once you get her out, then you've got to, you know, you've got to have a plan. And they have a plan, her retirement plan. And you can find that on their website, the orcanetwork.org. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Robin, it's so good to see you. I hope to see you again really soon,
because
this was really crazy short.
That's fine, honey. And listen, if anyone has any drama, any relationship drama, they can email me at playgirladvice@gmail.com.
Playgirladvice@gmail.com.
Yes.
Okay, that's fun.
Yes.
And can we find any of it online, or we have to get the print magazine?
At playgirl.com.
Okay. Ooh,
yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, happy spring.
Thank you, dear.
Yes. Okay. Great. That was Robin Camille. And again, playgirladvice@gmail.com. I say take advantage of that.